It seems so simple. After more than a decade of breeding and painstaking selection, the next generation of Australian mangoes was finally ready to roll out commercially. Thousands of new trees were propagated at a Darwin nursery, while the industry actively encouraged growers to sign up to trial them. It wasn't a hard sell for Raymond Bin. He was looking to expand his small mango orchard and thought he'd found the perfect fit.
I didn't believe that planting more of what we have, as in KP mangoes, is the future. So I pretty well put my name down to grow the new hybrids. They're a great looking fruit and a really nice eating fruit as well. So I just thought that's the way to go to put in for the future.
After 6 years, Raymond Bin finally got his chance in February. He was approved and 1,500 new trees were put on order. But somewhere along the line, one critical detail was overlooked, as Biosecurity Queensland's Mike Ashton explains.
Our current entry restrictions require that any planting material entering Queensland has to be certified as coming from a state free from mango malformation disease, and unfortunately, the Northern Territory are unable to provide that certification.
Is the risk mitigated in any way as a result of you having a very clear understanding of where the budwood emanated, a government research station in Kununurra? It's been propagated at a registered nursery in Darwin and then moved to an area that is free of mango malformation. Does that in any way make it the risk an easier situation for your department to assess?
Not really, unfortunately. Mango malformation disease is caused by a complex of fungal pathogens. Those fungal pathogens can be cause latent infections. That means that it's not showing any symptoms. Without symptoms, there is no way of being able to test the plants for freedom. So you could take a sample from a part of the plant and not find the causative agent, but it could be present in another part of the plant and not showing any symptoms. So there's no real way of effectively testing plants for freedom from the disease. And therefore, it becomes very difficult to provide alternative measures that can mitigate the risk of those plants introducing mango malformation disease to Queensland. Now, we are doing a pest risk assessment and we will be looking at whether there are other measures available to give us confidence that plant material coming into Queensland from other parts of Australia are free of mango malformation disease. But at this stage, we're not aware of any measures that could give us the required level of confidence that those plants are free.
And Mike Ashton, I'm sure that every mango grower in Queensland would agree that that is the top priority in this situation. But I guess given the protracted nature of the negotiations that have gone on to get this, to get these new mango varieties to the commercial stage, is it reasonable to have expected that someone within the Department of Agriculture might have foreseen that there would be some issues at the pointy end when you actually propagate these trees and then start to roll them out?
Look, I'm sorry, Charlie, I just can't comment on that. I'm the Chief Plant Health Manager for Queensland. My role is around protecting Queensland from exotic pests and diseases. I haven't been involved in the commercialisation of these new varieties.
But whose responsibility is it to actually foresee that there might be some issues and make sure that they're managed as part of the process?
Well, again, I haven't been involved in the commercialisation process, but I guess the people to talk to are the commercialisation partners who made the decision to grow these plants in the Northern Territory rather than in Queensland.
That's Mike Ashton from Biosecurity Queensland. And, well, look, that's where it does get a bit tricky. The new mango varieties were developed in a joint project between Queensland, the Northern Territory, Western Australia and the CSIRO. Queensland's Department of Agriculture says it exited the commercialisation process back in 2012 when the CSIRO took over as managing partner. CSIRO says it's responsible for the intellectual property, but the licensing and commercial rollout to industry, including propagation, is the responsibility of a new company called New Mango Company, a subsidiary of the Australian Mango Industry Association. I asked AMIA Chairman Greg McMahon, a grower himself, how he feels about the current situation facing growers like Raymond Bin, unable to access their trees.
I can definitely sense Raymond's frustration, particularly as you're looking to plant new trees inside a window that Mother Nature only gives you once a year. And you know, the situation that he's in with not being able to access trees under these new varieties is not something that we'd like to see, and I feel for him greatly.
Why was this particular Darwin nursery chosen for the propagation?
I expect it was because of the proximity with where the original wood was to come from in WA, and also the availability of this nursery to be able to do the work and do it to a standard that the AMIA were going to be happy with. Again, I'm not privy to that decision being made at the time, but also there was an understanding at the time that because of the state of play between both states and what we were doing here and the source of the wood, this protocol wouldn't be an issue at the time the trees needed to be transferred, and that just hasn't been the case.
Why was it not until recently that an application was lodged with the Queensland Department of Agriculture to facilitate the movement of those trees?
Well, from the AMIA's perspective, we weren't sure that the application wasn't made, but when further inquiry was made, it would seem that that didn't happen until recently enough. But even with that application, we've also undertaken to go down a different path and see if we can find a nursery in Queensland that will be able to grow or propagate the trees for us and have a pathway into Queensland that way.
If that's the case, what time frame would it take to start that process again for growers like Raymond Bin and others in Queensland that are looking to take up this opportunity that the industry is indeed encouraging them to do?
I don't know. It'll be in the hands of others, but I can say that the AMIA have already started to prosecute this as a result of Raymond. We've been in contact with him already, I understand, but I don't have a time frame.
If it's possible for those trees to be propagated here in Queensland, is it reasonable for him to ask the question why that wasn't thought of a little earlier in the process?
Look, from his perspective, and as frustrated as I'm sure he is, I'd be asking all of those questions. But again, all I can say is at the time, we held a genuine understanding that this wouldn't be an issue at the time those trees would be ready. But as I said, it appears that's not the case, which is regrettable.
How committed is the Australian mango industry to seeing this process through to the point where we might actually get to see these mangoes on a supermarket shelf?
Yeah, we're very committed to it. We work very hard, and we've also made a lot of effort to find growers who are prepared to put them in the ground. This is an unfortunate wrinkle or roadblock in the process, but we want to see more mangoes in the ground in Australia, and we want to find varieties that work best for growers and are going to be popular with customers. And that's what this is all about. And that search will continue with these varieties and others that other breeders will have. And the AMIA is the best place to do that on behalf of all of industry.